1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we will be again this morning. We started that chapter last week, just briefly. We covered verse 1, which possibly would rather be in chapter 10, I guess. But we're going to look at just a few verses from 1 Corinthians 11 as we introduce a new issue and a new topic in the life of the Corinthian church, and in really another area that we need to consider on our lives as well. Have you ever been lost? And I mean like lost, like driving lost, not salvation lost. We all know that we've been salvation lost, right? But we're talking about being really lost, where you had no idea where you were, and you really had no idea how to get to where you're going. My family always jokes about how I always get lost. And that might be partly true, where I may not know exactly where I'm at, but I'm usually able to find my way out to get to where I'm going. So I guess it's not technically lost. But there have been times where I've been lost to the extent where I didn't know where I was and I didn't know how to get to where I'm going. God has given me a pretty good sense of direction, at least, and that does help me get out of some of those problems. But I do remember traveling when I was on a mission trip to Scotland on a train. How can you get lost on a train? Well, I'll tell you. You hop the wrong one. And I was trying to get to the Highlands of Scotland, and I just didn't really know how to read the signs and the timetables for the train, and so I hopped on one that apparently was going south instead of north, which is where I was wanting to go. And so all of a sudden I thought, well, I was trying to get to actually Glasgow, and it was supposed to be about an hour trip. And after about an hour and a half, I was starting to think, okay, where am I at? And I'm starting to see different signs, and I'm wondering how long this is going to go, and I'm seeing things that are unfamiliar to me. And so the next stop, I get out, and I realize that I'm just about a couple of miles outside of England, which is the opposite way I wanted to go. And I didn't have a whole lot of money to get me back. Didn't have enough for the ticket to go back, so I actually had to hop on it and pay for as much of a ticket as I could get, and they were able to take me home, thankfully. But I didn't know what to do. How does that make you feel when you're in a place where you don't know where you're at, never been there, it's unfamiliar, maybe it even looks and feels dangerous? How does that make you feel? You start to think, well, if only I remembered the directions better. If only I paid attention to the people that wanted me to come there. If only I'd remember to bring a map, or if only someone was there to help me. You know, today, thankfully, I don't have that problem much anymore. I have a map on my phone, which I usually carry with me. I don't have it with me now. It's in the office, so I don't get a ring during the preaching time. But I carry that usually wherever I go. On our trip to Michigan, there was a few times where that saved me, okay? It helped me get to where I needed to go. But even if I didn't have that, sometimes we're still able to kind of find our way and get to where we're going. We may not get lost on the road much anymore, but the question I want us to think about today is, have we lost our way as Christians in our Christian walk? Have we lost our way as Christians in our walk with Christ? Or maybe even, have we lost our way as a church in our responsibility and our service for Christ? There's different kinds of getting lost, different ways to get lost. And I think we can all agree that there are ways in which our society has even gotten lost today. As we look at these two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want us to see how Paul is still helping the Corinthian church to find their way back from being lost in many different ways. You see, they were lost not only spiritually, but they were lost in a society and a culture that was Christless. We've looked at this. How can you live as a Christian in a Christless culture? Some of them had lost their way in their personal walk with God and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at some of the issues that we've already covered, dealing with their pride, dealing with immorality, dealing with not considering one another as a church. And all of these issues, Paul was, again, through the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit, trying to get them back on track and follow the right path to stop being lost, even as a Christian. We've seen some of those problem areas that caused them to lose their way. As we come into chapter 11, Paul's going to bring out some other issues that require their attention. And as we looked at them, perhaps we've seen some areas and issues and problems in our own lives where we've lost our way. And what does the Holy Spirit do through the preaching of His Word? He gets us back on track. He gets us back on the right path. So how can we get back on track when we've lost our way? Well, in these two verses that we're going to consider, we're going to see that Paul is reminding this church as well as us just how to do this, how to stop losing our way. Beginning verse 1, I'd like to read, "Be ye followers of me," Paul says, "even as I also am of Christ." We looked at that last week, and then picking up in verse 2, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Sometimes when we feel lost in our own walk and relationship with God, even as Christians, there are some things that Paul brings out in these two verses that we need to remember in order to find our way back. Find our way back not just when we're on a road trip, but when we lose our way spiritually in our walk with Christ and in our service for God. So what are some things that we need to remember to keep from getting lost in our way? The first thing that you and I need to remember, as he brings out here to the Corinthian churches, you need to remember that you have a shepherd to follow. You have a shepherd to follow. You know, if you are on a trip and you really have never been to a certain place before, it's always better, it's always easier if you have someone to follow. It's always easier, it's always better if there's someone even in the car with you that's been there and is able to take you down the right path. As a family, we were at the graveside service for my uncle, and we were going to have a dinner together as a big family. And the place that we were going was a buffet in a part of Grand Rapids that I had not been for a long time. And so my uncle says to me, my uncle Bill said, "You know, if you can keep up, you can follow me, and I'll take you where we need to go." And of course, I was kind of thinking, okay, that shouldn't be too hard. He's a lot older, a lot slower, at least in his walking. But he was not slow when he was driving. And he wasn't kidding. I had to keep up. But since I was able to keep up, guess what? Following him got me right where I needed to go. I didn't even need to use my phone or my map. I was able to follow him. It's always easier. It's always better to follow someone where you need to go so you won't get lost. And that's why Paul says in verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things." Paul begins this new section here in chapter 11 that deals with a brand new issue in their church. The issue that we'll be covering here in chapter 11 is an issue of authority and the Christian's proper response to authority. And he starts this issue by first offering the church some praise. And maybe this was, some people say this might have been an ironic thing for him to do, trying to get them to think some positive thoughts before, again, he gives them an issue and a problem that they need to deal with again. But I believe we find some legitimate praise here, some evidence that God was still working in their life as a church. There were some things that they still had going for them, even in all the problems that we've seen. They were still a church. They were still Christians. They were still following the Lord Jesus. They were still saved, and He was still sanctifying them through the Word and the Spirit of God. There were some things that showed Paul that God was still working in their hearts and lives. That's why he said, "I praise you, brethren." There were some things that could still remind them that they were in fact a church that belonged to Jesus Christ. And so he says, "I praise you, brethren." And one of the things that Paul praised them for was that they remembered him, as it says there in verse 2, "in all things." "Now I praise you, brethren, that you have remembered me in all things." That is, they remembered that they had a pastor by the name of Paul, an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ that they sought to follow after. And so what we find here is Paul saying, "I praise you, brethren, for remembering that you have a shepherd that cares for you and that's concerned for you and that you're trying to follow." Do you remember what Paul said there in verse 1? He says, "Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Yes, Paul was a pastor. He was the founding pastor. Go to Acts chapter 18 and you read all about how the Lord used him to start this church. But Paul knew that he was just an under-shepherd to the chief shepherd of Jesus Christ. The great shepherd of the sheep, as he is called. And so when we remember our shepherd, we need to realize it's not just about a person, it's about our Savior. And when they remembered and followed Paul, they were in fact and in reality remembering Jesus and following after Jesus. And that's the first thing we need to remember if we're starting to lose our way. If we're starting to feel like we're lost in our walk with God. We need to remember that we have a shepherd that we can follow. We have a shepherd that we can follow. Because if you forget that you have a shepherd to follow, you have already lost your way. you've already lost your way. What do we need to remember about our shepherd, just like they remembered about their shepherd? We need to remember our shepherd's concern. Paul was an under-shepherd. He was their pastor. Paul was concerned for this church in Corinth. You see this all throughout this letter. In fact, right there in verse 2, he says, "I praise you, brethren." How many times has he called them brethren all throughout this letter? And it shows that he loved them and cared for them and wanted the absolute best for them. He cared about them. He was concerned for them. But you realize that Paul's concern was simply a reflection of the concern that Jesus Christ had for them and for his church. That's why he says again, "Be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." If I'm concerned for you, it just is a small amount of the concern that Jesus has for you, the great shepherd of the flock. See, Jesus loves his sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they am known of mine." He knows his sheep. He loves his sheep. He's concerned and he cares for his sheep. And if we start to lose our way, whether it's a sin that easily besets us, or maybe we're just straying, or maybe we're getting lazy in our walk with him, and we're not reading, we're not praying, we're not fellowshipping, what do we need to remember? We need to remember that we have a shepherd that cares for us. And his concern for us. Remember his concern and return and follow him, because he is the one that will lead you down the right path. It's always easier, it's always better to get to the destination if there's someone that you can follow. And so often we try to go our own way. I mean, things haven't changed so much in that we still have this flesh, right? And this flesh is trying to, again, it's a magnet to the world and it draws us away. We need to start following him. Remember that we have a shepherd that's concerned for us, and he will lead us on the right path. Paul says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things." We need to remember our Savior and our shepherd. We need to remember his concern, but you also need to remember your shepherd's counsel. Again, Paul was their pastor. He was their under-shepherd, and Paul was giving counsel to this church in Corinth. And one of the things that he praised them for here in verse 2, first was that they thought of him, they remembered him. The second one was that they were heeding and listening to his counsel. One of the things he praised them for was that they went to him with their questions and with their concerns. This part of 1 Corinthians, we're finding Paul addressing questions that they had given to him. And chapter 11 likely was also in answer to some questions that they had about their church and just the way they were running things. We have some questions about the authority between men and women and how we're supposed to conduct things in the church of God. And so Paul is going to give them counsel and advice, biblical advice about this. The key is, they wanted to hear from Paul. They wanted to hear his counsel. They wanted to hear his advice, knowing that it wasn't just from Paul, but from the Lord himself. But again, we find in verse 2, it's dovetailed with verse 1, Paul's counsel was simply a reflection of the counsel of Jesus Christ for his church. He's inspired to give this counsel. And Jesus, who is the great shepherd of his flock, he guides his sheep. He is the one that will guide and direct our church in the way we should go and what we should do. Peter writes this in 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were as sheep as going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." And if he is our shepherd, we need to follow him and realize that the counsel that he gives us is counsel that will lead us down the right way and down the right path. So when you start to lose your way as a Christian, in your own walk with God and in your own service for the Lord, you need to remember your shepherd's counsel. Where do we find his counsel? It's through his word, through this book. And as we follow his counsel through his word, we must return and follow him. Because through his word, he will always guide us on the right path. And that's why Paul again says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things." And it wasn't just a remembrance about Paul, but about Paul's Savior and about Paul's shepherd. But again, Paul encourages these Corinthians to follow his example with that one stipulation there in verse 1. "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So if we're losing our way, we also need to remember our shepherd's conduct. We need to remember what Christ has done and what He continues to do. The most important thing to do when you're lost is to get back on the right road and the right path. And as a Christian, the only way we can do this is to follow Jesus down His path. There might be other examples that we have in our lives that are good examples to follow, but only with that stipulation in place, even as I also am of Christ. Do you realize that so many of the problems and that the church in Corinth faced, and so many of the questions that they had and the issues, and even the problems that we face today, could have been solved and could have been answered if they were just remembering and considering and following the conduct of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that? So many of the things that we have in our life that are problems and the issues would be solved, and the questions that we have would be answered if we just remembered the teachings of Jesus and followed the conduct of Jesus. Peter again writes in 1 Peter 2:21, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Now, Peter, of course, is talking about suffering in that way, but certainly can be applied to all other areas of our life and our Christian walk. He is our example to follow. And if we forget that we have a shepherd that cares about us, that's concerned about us, that gives us His counsel and His Word, and has given His Comforter through the Holy Spirit, if we've forgotten that we have a shepherd to follow, we've already lost our way. And we'll never get to where we need to go. So remember your shepherd. Remember that Jesus is your shepherd. And you know, sometimes God uses another shepherd to help point you to Himself. Maybe it is a preacher that is a favorite of yours, or a pastor, or maybe a Christian friend or a Christian spouse. Sometimes God brings someone like Paul into your life to be able to encourage you along the way. But ultimately, it's to point you to the chief shepherd. Because that's the only way we're going to stay in the right path if we're following Him. Otherwise, we're going to get lost. We're going to get lost. We need to see the concern, the counsel, and the conduct of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and follow Him. He is the only one who can keep us on the right path. That's the first thing that you and I need to remember. The second thing is we need to remember that we have a standard to follow. Not just a shepherd to follow, but we also have a standard to follow. You know, there's nothing like a good and accurate map, or a good or accurate GPS, or map on your phone. 67-year-old Sabine Moreau, who's a Belgian woman, I think would agree. She meant to pick up a friend on January 5th. Not sure of the year. I think it was probably this last year or two. She lived in Belgium. She was going to pick up a friend in Brussels, about 90 miles from her house. However, because of a GPS error, and GPSs are not always accurate, by the way, because of a GPS error, she ended up more than 900 miles away in Croatia. The unexpected journey took the woman across 5 international borders. By the time she hit Zagreb, the capital of Croatia, 2 days after leaving her house, Sabine Moreau finally realized she'd taken a wrong turn somewhere. She'd stopped several times to top off her gas tank and taken cat naps in her car on the side of the road. She said, "I was distracted, so I kept going," she admitted. "I saw all kinds of signs, first in French, then in German, and finally in Croatian. But I continued driving because I was distracted." Now, there's a lot of lessons there. But the one lesson I want to focus on is there's nothing like an accurate map or a GPS. Even GPSs can be wrong. And I've experienced that. Perhaps you have as well. Maybe there was a road that you were trying to take, and it wasn't on that GPS. I remember we took a vacation down to Florida, and I was trying to get back from one area where we were getting groceries to the rental house that we were at. And I was taking a road, and this particular GPS said, "Make a U-turn." And if I made a U-turn, I'd go the opposite direction and get hit. And so I didn't use that advice. And so we realize that the standard is only as good as how accurate it is. But you know what? When we find ourselves losing our way, God has given us a perfect standard through His Word. This standard is what we need to follow. We have a shepherd to follow. We have a perfect standard to follow. And this standard is something that we need to apply to our life every single day. That's why the second thing that he praises about the people there in Corinth in verse 2, he says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, first of all. And then, also, I praise you, I'm thankful that you're keeping the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Here's another thing that Paul praises those Christians in Corinth for. Not only did they remember him, but also they kept some things in their lives as well. They kept these ordinances as Paul had delivered them. And that's the second thing we need to remember if we're losing our way. That we have a standard to follow. We have a standard. And this standard isn't going to lie to us. It's not going to guide us 900 miles outside of our way. It's going to keep us on the right path. And so often the reason why we lose our way is because we're not looking into this book. And we're not following the standard that God has given to us through His Word. But if we've forgotten that we have a standard to follow, we've already lost our way. There's no way we're going to get to that destination if we've forgotten our standard. Dealing with a standard, we find that there are doctrines to follow in this book. Why was Paul praising them? Why was Paul encouraged? Paul was encouraged that they were, it says in verse 2, keeping the ordinances. Now what is he talking about here? Now the ordinances that we often think about are the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And certainly that is included in that term, but it's not just the regular ordinances of the church. That term also deals with the teachings and doctrines that were fundamental to their faith and even to the founding of their church. The ordinance of the Word of God that they were building their lives and building their churches upon, they were remembering and they were keeping them as their own. The Corinthian church here, Paul said, received his teachings. And they were listening to the teachings of Paul. And that was something that they had going for them. They wanted to hear what Paul had to say about these issues. But there was a relative soundness in the doctrine of this church. The biggest problem was not applying those truths to their everyday life. And maybe that's one of our issues today. We have received and listened to the doctrines and teaching of God's Word. We have an extremely sound statement of faith and a very sound understanding of God's Word. But maybe the major problem in our life is putting those principles into practice. And if that is the case, we've lost our way. Because you know what James says? It's not just talking about hearing the Word, but being a doer of the Word and applying it and using this guide. A GPS is only as good as if you use it. A map is only as good as if you can read it. But when we start to lose our way, you need to remember that you have a standard to follow. The truth of God's Word. Make sure that you're not just a hearer of it, but a doer of it. Where's a doctrine that we need to understand and apply to our life? But we also see that there is a duty for us to follow this. A duty. The Corinthian Christians kept these doctrines, it is said there in verse 2. I praise you, brethren, that you keep the ordinances. They kept those doctrines and those teachings. That is, they held them as their own. They realized that it was their duty to continue to learn about them and to grow in them and to keep asking questions about them. And we have that same duty as we go down this path. We have a duty to keep and to follow the teachings of God's Word as well. This is our map to follow as we go through the confusion of this world. Now, there are some places where it's very hard to find where you're going. I remember living and growing up in Colorado. The streets were easy to maneuver and easy to find different things. Everything was north, south, east, west. Same here. It's easy to find things because everything is pretty well straight. When we moved to New York, we realized that not all places are like that. Because of all the hills and all the valleys and the brooks and the creeks and the rivers, and there was no way to find anything easily. You needed a map. You needed a standard to be able to follow to get where you needed to go. We can be so thankful that this Word will help us as a map in the confusion of this world. This is what God Himself has given to us. And so when we start to lose our way, when we start to realize that we're not following our shepherd the way we should, we need to remember that we have a standard to follow as well. There are answers to your questions. There are solutions to your problems. And we find that in the standard and the truth of God's Word. We also see in this verse the diligence to follow. You know, the Corinthians understood that it wasn't just any doctrine or any teaching that would guide them and lead them in this truth. There are so many people that come to know Christ as their Savior, and then they are drawn away by other teachers and other teachings. And it's a concern to us because we need to make sure that the foundational truths of the Bible are the things that are our bread and butter. These are the things that we must feed upon. It was the truth that Paul says, as I delivered to you. And Paul commends them and says, you have been faithful to the truth by not changing it and watering it down. Now granted, their application of that truth, they were having difficulty with, but they still understood that when something needed to change, it wasn't the truth. It was them. We need to have the same diligence when it comes to the Word of God. When we are faced with something that challenges us, who should change? We ought to change. Listen to what James says in James 1:23. He says, if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. That's someone who's a hearer and not a doer. When you look in the Word of God, it's like you looked into a mirror, saw the problems, and you didn't fix them. And you go your own way. But then he says this, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, the standard that we are to follow, and continues therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. When you and I are confronted with the truth of this guidebook, of this word, of this standard that we are to follow, what needs to change? So often when we see something that bothers us or maybe confuses us, we often say, well, that needs to change, not me. Versus, I need to change, and this is what God is using to change me and to keep me on the right path. But if you forget that you have a standard to follow, if you forget that the Word of God is there to wash you, to clean you, to change you, to direct you, we've already lost our way. So we need to remember our standard. The Word of God is our standard, and we need to be faithful to, and we need to follow the truth. The truth is the track that we are always to remain on. Then the third thing that we need to remember if we are getting off track is you need to remember that you have a sphere or a role to fulfill. Everyone in this world has a role and a sphere in which they live. I've told this story, I'm sure, before, but years ago, my brother and I had a canoe. And one of our goals with that canoe was to canoe the whole length of the Susquehanna River, which begins in Cooperstown, New York, Baseball Hall of Fame, and it ends up in Havre de Grace, which is Chesapeake Bay. By the way, we never made it. We barely made it to our first stop, but we were trying. We were going to try anyways. We were going to try to enter a race, actually, with our canoe. And I remember I was in front and he was in back. I was supposed to be the one paddling. He was supposed to be the pilot. He was supposed to be the one directing. And we were coming up across kind of a rapid area. Susquehanna River is not too deep and it's not too strong of a current. But we saw that there was a log that water was flowing over, and we thought we could take it. It was just a little bit of a drop. And so we didn't really communicate, and we forgot our roles. And I said, well, we need to go this way. And he said, we need to go this way. And so we paddled different ways, and we ended up both in the water. And that's what happens when we forget our roles. We keep losing our way. And you get all wet when you don't follow your roles. So after praising them for some things that were still going well in the church, trying to strengthen the things that remained, Paul now, beginning in verse 3 through the rest of this chapter, deals with another issue that they were facing. And we will find that it is an issue that we all face in our own lives and in our church as well. The issue is the issue of authority and how we respond to authority. And that's why he writes in verse 3, But I would have you know, brethren, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Again, the issue that we find in this verse and throughout this chapter is one of authority and how we respond to authority. Now, that's a pretty big issue, isn't it? Responding to authority, not just in our Christian lives, but even in the church and in families. and in society at large. And this apparently was an issue looming in the city of Corinth as well. And it seems like it was something that might have been new to the church. You know, sometimes when we come from a culture that is Christless, when we come together as Christians, often much of that worldliness comes along with. And so there's some things that we've got to work through biblically in dealing with these things. Perhaps Paul hadn't touched on this before, and that's why he says, I want you to know this. I want you to know this. Maybe this was new to them, or maybe Paul hadn't addressed this with them yet. But it was about responding to authority as Christians and as a church. And in this verse, in verse 3, Paul explains that everyone has a God-given role and a God-given sphere in which to live and fulfill. And you know what? If we forget that truth, this universal truth that there is a sphere in which we are to live and some roles that we are to fulfill, we'll lose our way. And that's true in our society as well. You know, perhaps you've been keeping up with the news and you realize that, I mean, the debate hasn't been so recent in basically having a policy to have women in combat roles in our military, but this would apply in this situation as well. There are certain roles and responsibilities that God has given to everyone. And some of them are natural, some of them are family-oriented, some of them are church-oriented, and when someone does not fulfill that God-given role and responsibility, they have lost their way. And I think we would agree that when we as a nation, as a culture, fail to protect the women in our lives, we've lost our way. Why? Because God has given certain roles and responsibilities. Now you might say, well, this is new to me. This is not something that we see in the world. It's all about equal rights and equal responsibility and equal roles. But what does the Bible say? This is our guide. This is what we're to go off of. But when we forget about this sphere to fulfill, we lose our way. So how will we respond to the God-given authorities in our lives and our roles in our lives? Something to remember as we think about this verse is how you and I respond to authority in our lives will reflect on your relationship to your shepherd and to your understanding of this standard. Again, how you respond to authority in your life reflects on your relationship with your Savior, your shepherd, and your relationship with the Word of God, which is our standard. We find in this verse a general universal principle, really, and we find three authorities in this verse. We find an authority for man, an authority for women, and an authority for Christ. We begin with the authority over men. It says the head of every man is Christ. This is something Paul wants us to know. The head of every man is Christ. What is the relationship of this authority that we see here? It's talking about Christ, of course, our Savior, Jesus Christ, but it also says every man. So how do we know that this is a universal principle? Because it's not just talking about Christians in the church, but to every man in this world. Universal. How do we know that this is true? Philippians 2:10 says that ultimately, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee, every man will submit to the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? If not now, soon. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So we find in this relationship that there is a role and a responsibility for each party. There's a role and a responsibility of Christ. He is the head. That is, He is the authority figure. He is the one to lead. And He is the authority of every single man. That is His role. That is His responsibility. So what is the role and responsibility of man? To submit to Christ. And to follow Christ. To follow Christ as our shepherd. And to follow after the standard that He's given in His Word. But when you and I forget about that relationship, and we disregard that authority, which we see all the time, we've lost our way. That's why the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way. That's what happens when man disregards the authority and the headship of Christ over them. They go their own way, and they lose their way. We see in our society so many men and so many people that have lost their way because of sin. But what about us? What about those who claim to have Jesus as their shepherd and say that they're trying to follow this word as their standard? Do you realize how we respond to authority in our lives reflects on our relationship with Him? And of course, our standard. That's the first area of authority that we see. And then we also see the authority for women. He goes on in verse 3 and says, "And the head, the authority of the woman, is the man." Again, we have a relationship here. A relationship of authority. The relationship between women and men. The relationship between women and men in marriage and even within the church. This is a role and a responsibility that each one of the parties has. And we're going to, of course, look at this later on in this chapter, but you can go throughout the Scripture and realize that man has a role and a responsibility that is God-given. What is that? To lead. And to love. And to lead by love. And to lead with love. He is, as it says here, the head. The man is the authority to the woman in their biblical relationship. Now, does this mean that the man is the authority over every single woman, whether there's no relationship implied? Of course not. It's talking about in the relationships that are biblical that God has ordained for you to be in, a husband and a wife. There is this natural authority, and the role and responsibility of the women is to submit and to follow their man. And you know what happens when we forget about that relationship? And we disregard this authority? We lose our way again. We lose our way, and we have lost our way. Not just in society as a whole, but even within our churches and in our families. We need to remember that how we respond to authority in our lives reflects on our relationship to our shepherd and our standard. If we truly have a right relationship with God, we're going to understand these roles and responsibilities and apply them to our life. But then we also see a third area of authority in this verse, and that is the authority for Christ. You might say, well, I don't like the idea that I have Christ as my authority. Or some women might say, well, I don't really like the idea of having a man over me as my authority. But then we see that even Christ willingly, voluntarily submitted His will to the will of His Father. It says, and the head of Christ is God. And of course, we know the relationship that we see there. It's talking about God the Son and God the Father. Again, it's not saying that Jesus is not God. It doesn't say that. It's just talking about the headship, the authority figure in relationship. And we know that there is a role and a responsibility even in the relationship within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what is the biblical role of God the Father in that relationship? It's to lead and to love. He is the head, as it says here. And so what was the role and responsibility of God the Son? It is to submit and to follow the will of the Father. Just like when He said in the garden, not my will be done, but thine. And we look at this authority. It's a difficult truth, isn't it? But I want us to see that the reason why Paul adds this is it shows us how our relationship and our response to authority is to work. When we look at the authority relationship between God the Son and God the Father, it teaches us that authority does not mean that one is superior than the other. It doesn't mean that one is inferior to the other. Because we know from the Bible that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are equal in all divine attributes and essence. The only difference that we see here is one of role and function. And we see that God the Son voluntarily submitted to the will of God the Father. So when we look at our relationship and our role and responsibility to Christ, and wives and women to their husbands and men, what does this submission deal with? It's not saying that one is superior or inferior to the other. It simply means that it's the way God wanted it to be from the very beginning. It means that authority is a willing, voluntary submission to the will of another. It's a picture of what Christ did for us. Authority means a willing, voluntary submission to the will of the other, just because it's the way God wants it to be. What we learn in this verse is that there is a divine order and a divine structure for every relationship. In the relationships between man and Jesus Christ, there is an order. In the relationships between women and men, there is a structure. In the relationships between Christ and God, God the Father even, there is an order. And if we forget that we have a sphere to fulfill and a role and a responsibility, you know what? We've lost our way. This is part of applying the truth and the doctrines that we find in the Word of God. So remember the sphere that God has placed you. Remember the roles and responsibility that God has given you. And ultimately, the issue is one of authority. How we respond to authority in our lives reflects on our relationship with our shepherd and with our standard. So the question I began with, I want to conclude with. Have we lost our way? Have we lost our way? When you forget any of these truths, verses 2 or 3, any of these truths, then you're already way off track. And that can happen even to Christians and even to churches. Now, we're going to explore more about the issue of authority within the church here in chapter 11, and especially the role of women and men. But for today, remember that you and I have a shepherd to follow, a standard to follow, and a sphere and a role to fulfill. And when we remember those three things, we will not lose our way. We will not lose our way. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You have given us, in these two verses, some amazing ways to direct us on the right path. And Lord, I pray that what was said of the Corinthian believers can also be said of us there in verse 2. I pray that we are remembering first and foremost that we have a shepherd that we can follow. And that whenever we have issues in our life or sins that we need to deal with, problems that we face, questions that we need answered, help us, Lord, to remember that we have a shepherd that cares, that's concerned, that's given us an example to follow and to understand more and more about the truth of these things. Help us, Lord, to follow after You when we feel like we're losing our way. When we've forgotten to pray and we've forgotten to seek You, or we've forgotten You. Lord, I pray that this morning You will stir up our memory so that we remember we have a shepherd to follow. A good shepherd, a great shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. Lord, I pray also You'll help us to remember today that we have a standard to follow as well, the Word of God. Help us, Lord, not to forsake it, to ignore it. Help us, Lord, not just to be a hearer of it, but to be a doer and an applier of it. Because, Lord, if we don't do that, we will lose our way. You've given us this book to help us through those things. And many of the practical things that we deal with every day have been dealt with already in Scripture, as we've seen. And one of those areas, Lord, that we often struggle with is the area and issue of authority. And Lord, I know our society has lost its way in dealing with authority. And I know that many people within churches have also lost their way when it comes to authority. But Lord, I pray that You'll help us to remember that You have given to each one of us a special sphere and a special role to fulfill, whether it is as a man or a woman, as a husband or a wife, as a son or a daughter, as a father and a mother. Lord, we all have those roles and responsibilities to fulfill. And Lord, if we forget about that, we've lost our way. And we're not applying the truth that You've given us. We're trying to usurp the authorities and the responsibilities that You've placed in our life, which has been given to us as a divine directive and a divine order. And to remind us, Lord, that this is something that You too are an example of. You showed it in Your own personal relationship with Your Son and Your Spirit. And so, Lord, help us not to see in this authority relationship one of superiority or inferiority, but to realize, Lord, that there's just a role and a responsibility that we are each to fulfill, and to apply the Word of God in those responsibilities so that we can let that light so shine before men. And Lord, we know that this would be a great light that the world will see, be confused at perhaps, but it'll show, Lord, that we have not lost our way, but we're following our shepherd, we're following after our standard, and we're fulfilling the roles and the responsibilities that You've given to each one of us. Lord, I pray for grace in understanding these verses. I pray, Lord, for wisdom to be able to apply them. And in all these things, Lord, I pray that You might receive the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.